Welcome and thank you for standing by. I would like to remind all callers today's call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Damian McCoy. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. So today's Tivoli Talk is a product overview of Tivoli Netcode Performance Manager for Wireless. This is the performance management product that provides network visibility and quality management for wireless cellular providers. If you move on to slide 2, you can see that Tivoli manages a wide range of networks globally using our legacy products. These are the NPR, NPM, and Prospect products, which are deployed for NPR and NPM globally, and for Prospect primarily in the North America market. And this is a customer base that we are primarily targeting TN-TMW towards initially, but are also attacking greenfield prospects as well. On the right hand side of the slide, you can see a number of reference customers that we have for TN-TMW. In Asia Pacific, we have a large deployment of in excess of 10 million subscribers with XL Commando in Indonesia. In EMEA, we have Omnitel Lithuania of the Telia Sonera Group, and they have successfully deployed PMW as a replacement for some of the legacy PM solutions, including the IBM NPR solution. And in the Americas, we have Aircel in the United States, who are a provider of in-flight broadband services. And this deployment has demonstrated how we can adapt the system to rubber bespoke applications. So with the Aircel in-flight broadband service, they've deployed specific equipment both on the ground network but also in the aircraft, and we've successfully adapted PMW to talk to this specific network deployment in a cost-effective manner. Moving to slide 3 then, if we just look at where TN-PMW is targeted, it's targeted around 3 broad user communities within the mobile carrier. And these are the quality team, who have responsibility for reporting the key performance indicators of the network infrastructure, and who manage the scoring of market and regional performance metrics. We then have the optimization teams, who are responsible more for the operational and availability and concerns of the network, who would monitor on a daily and hourly basis the performance of the network components, and who would be responsible for root cause analysis and resolving problems and quality issues in the network. And finally, we have the trending and capacity planning team. These would be responsible for the medium to long term strategic planning and rollout of the network. For example, deployment of additional cell sites, deployment of additional voice coverage, and also the rollout of core network infrastructure and interconnect capacity. So the tool has been architected to address these 3 primary user needs. If we move on to slide 4, we can see some of the product advantages of TN-PMW. These are the advantages both over the legacy tools that we have in the market, but also advantages that we consider that we would hold over some of the competitor products. If I can touch on a few of these, so firstly, the multi-vendor and multi-technology support is provided by our extensive TechPack library. We cover all the major network infrastructure providers, both the traditional ones such as Nortel, Motorola, Nokia, Siemens, but also some of the emerging ones from Asia such as Huawei and ZTE. And we cover all the major mobile technologies, both cellular and non-cellular. So that would include GSM, GPRS, UMTS, and some of the emerging technologies as well. We'll be building tech packs for in line with market demand, such as LTE and WiMAX. Touching on some of the other points then, if we look at open standards and integration, so we recognize that TN-PMW is not a standalone OSS solution. It's always deployed alongside other OSS products, either IBM, Tivoli portfolio products, or very often in a multi-vendor OSS environment. So we ensure that the data we present and structure in our product is available not just in our interface, but also available to other products, including third-party products such as business intelligence tools like IBM Cognos and Business Intelligence, but also provided out to in-house tools and scripts that the customer may decide to write themselves to meet specific reporting and business needs. So our database is entirely open and based on Oracle standards, such that all the data that we collect from the network is available to the customer to use wherever in the business that they so choose. We also have a number of Tivoli portfolio integrations with TNPMW, and I'll present these later as I run through the product feature overview. And finally then, we've achieved a lower cost of ownership with this product. This has been achieved primarily through a commercial off-the-shelf approach with our TechPack library. So rather than develop integrations into the network elements through services engagements and specific development of the network interfaces and the data models, we have done this in a commercial off-the-shelf productized method with TNPMW. So the TechPacks that allow you to integrate into different vendors' equipment are provided as product, not as services. So while initially the initial deployment cost may be higher, the total cost of ownership in the business case for the customer made over a 3 or 5 year period is significantly lower than an ongoing professional services engagement. If I move then to slide 5, I'll provide a brief functional overview of the product, just highlighting some of the main components and how they interrelate to each other. So starting at the bottom of the slide, you can see the data loading framework. This is the mediation layer of TNPMW, and this has a responsibility for the interface to the network elements, either directly into network elements such as radio network controllers or MSCs in a mobile network, or more often into the OMC, into the management layer. We can support a wide number of protocols through our gateways, the most common ones being XML files, ASN1, CDR and SNMP formats. We then take this raw information from the network vendors and we convert this using our load maps to store into our database. So these vendor-specific file formats are converted into a common file format known as LIF, the loading interface format, which is our own proprietary standard, and then loaded into our database where the raw performance management data is stored. And this allows us to interface to a wide number of different technologies and vendors, but maintaining a standardized technology agnostic database and analytical engine in the core product. So the gateways and the load map components are provided within the technology packs. So when a customer purchases, for example, a Nokia Core Network technology pack, they will automatically receive the necessary gateway and the necessary load map within that technology pack to successfully integrate to that vendor's infrastructure. They can then deploy the core product onto their site and simply select the tech packs from the tech pack library that correspond to the network infrastructure that they have deployed on their site. The next element then is looking up, and on the left hand side is the database. So this stores the raw performance management data, as I mentioned, but it also stores some of the complex performance management data or the analytical results that are generated from the product. So these would be summary data and stored busy hour data, for example. It also would store the network hierarchy that is either learnt from the performance management data stream or that it's pulled in from a configuration management tool or database. So this database provides all the raw performance management data, but also describes the network hierarchy that the tool is managing. Looking above the database then, you can see that we have the database API, the database interface, and that allows direct interface into all this data from external business applications or any other OSS application that the customer may want to pull performance management data into. Then looking across the middle of the chart, you can see the application server. So today this is based on a JBoss application server and manages the core user-based services of the application. So these would be generation of reports, generation of alarms, generation of summary and stored busy hour calculations, management of data availability reports, and scheduling of reports. As I mentioned then, looking right, the TechPack repository stores all the TechPacks that the customer has selected to load into the system. And then further on the right, you can see the support functions. So these are the general support functions, the ability to authenticate and manage individual users, to set up permissions and profiles for individual users, and also to perform system administration tasks like backups, restarts, and so on. So these are based partly on the user interface, on the GUI, but also on the CLI command line tool as well. Looking then at the top is essentially the application layer. So TNPMW is exclusively a web client. There's no desktop client to install within your user community. It's all managed through the browser, which allows centralized updates and centralized management of the application. And we support both IE7 and Firefox 3 browsers in the current release. So as we'll see as we walk through the product overview, the web client manages all the typical functions of a performance management tool. So there's obviously administration for the system administrator, but for users there's also the ability to run alarms, to run reports, to perform wireless analytics, and also to view the results in charts, graphs, and also tabular formats as well. Then if we look at slide 6, to complete the top line product overview, we have a technology pack development kit. So in addition to generating tech packs ourselves, we also provide a tech pack development kit. So this is our in-house tool that we use to manufacture our own tech packs, but we also provide it out to business partners and in some cases to larger tier one customers themselves. So this allows them to generate tech packs, but it's not cost effective for IBM to generate themselves, or for tech packs which IBM have not scheduled for some time and they may want to accelerate the availability of certain tech packs. So we find that very often we will focus on a core tech pack library from the main vendors and the main technologies, but where individual customers have a niche tech pack need for a specialized piece of equipment or for a piece of equipment that we have not been requested to develop for any of our customers, then they can take the tech pack development kit and either with them by themselves or with a business partner can develop that tech pack for use in TNPMW. So this is a graphical user interface and with definition of the primary tech pack input, and the output is the same XML configuration file that we ship ourselves as a tech pack. So that would include the required gateways I mentioned, the load map to successfully transfer the data into the database, but also optionally a number of reports that may be relevant to the technology being monitored, and also KPIs and summary data that may also be of value to the customer as well. Looking then at slide 7 then, and this just really places TNPMW within the context of the commercial product, which is TNPM. So previously we had two complementary products. TNPMW addressed the wireless performance management market, and Proviso, its sister product, provided the equivalent performance management capability within the fixed or IP domain. So these two products are technically distinct today. They are still separate and are still deployed and used separately by the user community, dependent on their need, but they are bundled commercially as TNPM, that's Tivoli Netco Performance Manager. So when you purchase the product, you purchase a single base license that entitles you to deploy Proviso and or TNPMW, dependent on your need and dependent on what type of network you have. So we find, particularly for the wireless market, they may purchase TNPM, but they may only deploy TNPMW, as they only have a wireless or cellular network to monitor. But it allows them the option in the future to also avail of the Proviso entitlement and deploy it if they also find that they have a wide number of fixed or IP network elements that they also wish to monitor. If they have a very light IP demand within the wireless network, then they may optionally develop one or two tactical tech packs to cover those, rather than having to incur the expense of deploying Proviso purely to provide some light, fixed or IP coverage. Just touching very briefly on the direction for TNPM on slide 8. So what we're seeing is that while there's two separate networks today, wireless and wireline, with very distinct performance management needs, very different user communities and really a need for specialized domain performance management and analytics. We're finding that as the networks evolve to common all IP core and as the operators look to consolidate their organization around this merging network, we're also finding that there's a change in demand for what performance management solution they want. So there's two stages essentially. We're finding that initially there's some common performance management needs around the network management and executive layer, where people want to have top level convergent reports, so an end-to-end view of all network assets, whether they're mobile or fixed, but really looking at the top key performance indicators within the network. And they're still technology specialists, so you'll still very much have your radio network planners, your mobile core engineers in the wireless domain, and on the fixed side you'd have your specialized transport and Cisco engineers for your IP network. Stage two then is as the networks truly converge into an all IP core with individual access technologies based on wireless or wireline, then the common performance management needs extend much further down into the business. So not just at the management level, there's a need for convergent reporting, but really down into the technology organization as well. So engineering managers and core network engineers also really need an end-to-end comprehensive mobile and fixed view in their performance management tool. And we're timing the evolution of this product merge between Proviso and TNPMW to align with our anticipated timeline of the customers towards merge networks. So we see that common PM need becoming more and more important, but there'll always be some domain specialists required. So you'll always have radio engineers planning your cell site, and you'll also have dedicated Cisco or IP engineers managing some of the key IP assets as well in your organization, and they will always have specialized analytical needs within the PM tool. So that's why we've chosen to bring the two tools together. We don't want to lose any of the deep analytics that are provided in both Proviso and TNPMW today. So that really concludes a very quick product overview. What I'd like to do now is to step through some of the key features and functions of TNPMW and what this should allow you to do, either as a sales or technical sales resource, is to go in and have a first customer engagement with the customer. So you should be able to give them a brief overview of TNPMW and provide the main feature highlights and also talk about some of the reporting and analytical features that we have in the product. Later on in the call then, we'll conclude with some information on sales prospecting, a little bit on pricing, and then where you can get support within the organization. So moving on to slide 9, we'll just touch on the product highlights. Briefly, these can be broken into four areas. Firstly, and this is the core function, I guess, is reports. So reports are available to be built by the user either on demand using a step-by-step reporting wizard and run straight away, usually in response to a particular issue in the network, or they can be scheduled. So if there are daily reports that are commissioned every night, or perhaps a weekly summary report, these can be scheduled by the business and run on a periodic basis. You can also, within the reports, build your own KPIs, as you'll see later on, and pull these in to be available for any report in the system. So as you build each report, you don't have to constantly repeat the definition of a calculation that you may want to use in multiple reports. Also within the tech packs, we provide a number of basic reports related to the technology. So as a user, you don't start with a blank page, and you have some base reports provided by IBM that you can use to adapt and build your own customer-specific reports from. Next then is the results. So in contrast to some of the other PM tools, it's not a static set of results that we provide in TNPMW. Once you get your results, you can really start to work on them at that point. You don't have to go back and commission a new report. With your results, you can order, filter, and sort the results. So, for example, if you've run a network-wide report, you can very quickly filter in the results down to a number of cells that are of interest or concern to you once you get the initial results. You can also roll up through the network, so starting down at channel level, you can roll up to cell, to BSC and network level ultimately within the same set of results. And you can, in addition to aggregating over the network hierarchy, you can also aggregate over time as well. So you can roll up from daily to weekly to monthly results. You can also show the results both in tabular format, if you want to kind of number crunch the results, but you can also look at them in a highly visual way using either 2D or 3D line, bar and column charts. And these maybe are more appropriate for distribution to management level. The third item then is the ability to track and anticipate. So rather than passively looking at what has happened on the network, you can use a tool to anticipate what will happen on the network in the future. So for the immediate future, there's the alarm management feature that allows you to configure thresholds against particular performance management KPIs in the system, either to track directly in the performance management tool or to export to your own network-wide event management system. We also have data availability reports that allow you to track the arrival and completeness of data into the system. And we also have a number of forecasting features that allow you to anticipate what the future values of performance management data will be based on historical results. Finally then, there's really no point in being able to process all this network management data if you can't share it and ensure that the people within the business have the information that they need to make their decisions on a day-to-day basis. So within the tool, we've ensured that users can share their results amongst similar users. So all radio engineers, for example, can have access to all relevant cell health reports. But also outside the tool, we allow people to export either on an ad hoc basis or on a scheduled basis the results in multiple formats. We also have the open database, as I mentioned, which allows you to pull out the data that we have analysed and structured for you to other OSS and BSS tools as desired. So looking at slide 10 then, obviously the reporting functionality is really the heart of the system, and what I'll do now in the next following slides is to walk through some of the main reporting features just to highlight what are the main benefits for users and how flexible the user interface is in terms of building, designing and managing reports. So looking at slide 11, what we provide for reporting is a fairly intuitive 6-step reporting wizard. So this is a guided input for users to define what data source to use, what entities to include in a report, which KPIs to include, and various reporting options such as filters or inclusion of data availability information within reports. So in contrast to some of our legacy tools and indeed some of our competitor tools, there's no need as a user to have any knowledge or low-level knowledge of scripting or programming to be able to build sophisticated PM reports. This is all GUI-based, it's all wizard-based, so for someone with very low technical knowledge, they're able to build a report. So the focus is on them having the appropriate network knowledge, not on the appropriate tool knowledge to be able to successfully build reports. Slide 12 then talks about report templates. So TechPacks, as I mentioned, provide report templates. So these are basically boilerplate or lowest common denominator reports that we consider will be of value based on the technology that the TechPack is for. So for a BSS related TechPack, we would perhaps provide cell health reports within the TechPack, and these allow the users to pull up these report templates, edit them and amend them, and then save them as customer-specific reports. The user as well can very often choose to define, rather than individual reports, they can build their own report templates, which individual users can then use as the basis for building specific reports as well. So this is not just an IBM feature, it's a feature that's available to customers as well. So So there may be two or three experts within the business that would be responsible for building report templates for each domain. They would then save them, and the individual users could pick those up and rapidly accelerate their design of their individual reports. Looking at slide 13 then, this is a new feature introduced in 9.2, our latest release, and Quick Reports allows the user, once they've generated a full report, to go back and refine it and rerun the report with the common filters that are often used. So rather than having to step back through the full report definition, go through the full wizard and select what may be very common options just to make a slight change in the report, they can click the Run with Filter button on existing report and pull up the vendor, the technology and the entity in order to make changes. So a common usage of this would be where they've run a report for 30 or 40 cells within a geographical area. The report results identify that there's two or three cells of particular concern. They then select these with the filter and rerun the report to provide a much more focused set of results to investigate what the issue is in those two or three cells. Another feature described in this slide is user comments. So this is the ability that once a set of report results is viewed, rather than having to provide commentary on this via email or manually via some other collaboration tool outside of TNPNW, we've added some user comment facilities so that the initial user can obviously add their own observations or commentary on results, but any person who goes in and views these results in the vault can also go in and add observations. So it's essentially a conversation thread that can be had amongst the user community on the report results and the information contained within them. Okay, moving on to slide 14 then. So we provide scheduled external reporting. So we provide support of report results exports in a wide number of formats. These are Microsoft Excel, XML and CSV, that's comma separated formats. Previously, before 9.2, you were able to go in to a set of report results and manually export to these three formats, but with 9.2 we've introduced the ability to define these exports as part of a schedule. So these can be pulled down automatically overnight when you run the report, and they can be made available through a various range of different export mechanisms, the primary one being email, but we also support transfer, FTP file transfer, either remotely or locally, and also storage on a local database table. So you can store, for example, a CSV format to the local database table, and you can, with the same schedule, email the same report results by Microsoft Excel to your manager, who can view the results when he arrives into the office. We also allow the definition of a user script or process that will run against these results. So this allows you to parse the report results file, perhaps to filter it or do some post-processing on it, but also to run scripts such as printing or PDF conversion if desired. Slide 15 then talks about user-defined calculations. So this tool is a graphical user interface that we have provided that allows the user to build their own KPIs, their own key performance indicators. So within the tool, there's already two KPI types. There's the raw vendor KPIs that are provided from the network equipment. There's what's known as PCOCs, which are the IBM recommended KPIs. So these are KPIs that we have added into the tech packs, ones that we think are of added value to the user community. And then finally, there's the user-defined calculations that the user can build themselves with this tool. So very often the user wants to extend the KPIs that are provided either from IBM or the vendor, or they also want to create complex KPIs such as adding two existing KPIs together or deriving percentages, so dividing one existing KPI over another. So the UDC tool allows the users to build these KPIs without recourse back to IBM. So again, there's no services engagement with the definition and management of KPIs within the system. This is all within the control of the user. And there's a number of mathematical functions available within the UDC tool. So all the common time aggregation and math functions are available there too for the user to build into the UDC. Once they've built a UDC, this UDC is available in all types of reports. So when the user goes to build any report, they can simply go to the UDC, go to the KPI pull down within report definition, and the UDCs that either they or other users have created will be added to that KPI list automatically, and they can select them for report. Moving on then to slide 16, this is forecasting. So this is the ability to trend future values based on historical results. And this is a prime example of where the UDC editor it has been used to provide feature and function. So rather than providing a static forecasting tool within the product, we've used the UDC functions to allow the user to build their own forecasting KPIs. So this gives them a lot more flexibility and no need to go back to IBM every time they want to make a change to the forecasting feature. So there's essentially two ways you can use the forecasting UDCs. You can either select a threshold of the KPI value and ask the tool to determine what point in time that threshold will be reached. So it will calculate, for example, that a certain threshold will be reached on a KPI in 7 days' time. Or you can define a future point in time. So you can say, pick 10 days into future, and you can ask the tool to return you the KPI values at that point in time. So you can anticipate what the future KPI values or what the anticipated growth of KPIs will be at a certain projected time. Moving on then to slide 17, this is traffic engineering. Again, this is a new 9.2 feature that we've introduced and matches a lot of the capabilities of the legacy tools, that's NPR and NPM, for example, which would have similar functionality. So this is the ability to look at the grade of service of particular KPIs. So most common use of this feature would be to plan trunk groups or voice circuit capacity. And this is usually used using the mathematical functions of Erlang B and Erlang C, but we also support some of the more exotic multi-way functions such as Kaufman-Roberts, which are particularly useful in IP traffic engineering, for example. And what this allows you to do is, for a given amount of traffic that's presented on a route, you can calculate what the required number of circuits is for a given quality of service or blocking rate, or you can determine with a fixed number of circuits and with the traffic that you anticipate is presented to those circuits, what the resultant quality of service will be. So if your company has a policy to run at 2% blocking, or that's 98% quality of service, you can very quickly determine using TNPMW that for your anticipated traffic load, how many circuits you need to deploy on the particular route to ensure that company policy blocking rate is maintained. Moving on then to slide 18, and we touched on some of this in the overview, but this summarizes the report results. So these are interactive reports. They're not static sets. They're not frozen in time. You don't have to go all the way back to the report definition to work with your results or to refine them and tweak them. So this allows you to visually present them in exactly the way that you'd like. So you're not stuck with the first chart that appears. You can redraw the chart. You can refine what is shown in the chart, both in terms of the time period, but also the entities and the KPIs that are presented. And you can drill up and down the network and redraw the charts based on the roll-up that you've performed. So this means that you can fine-tune some of the management outputs that you provide in chart format, but also allows you to fine-tune the vast amount of data that may be returned in report results. So rather than being stuck with pages and pages of KPI metrics in tabular format, you can filter out them based on time, based on entity, or based on KPI, and show a much smaller subset that would be easier to digest and action as a user. So that covers the main reporting feature and function of the product. What I'll cover now from slide 19 on is some of the extended reporting functions. So this is not core performance management reporting, but it's some of the additional reporting capabilities that we have in the system. The first one on slide 20 is data availability. So very often in large geographic networks or in countries where availability or robustness of transmission networks is not as high quality as perhaps should be, there's often concerns about the arrival of performance management data. So if you're making significant decisions about your network infrastructure or about investment or about network quality from your PM tool, you want to be sure that you're making those decisions based on a comprehensive set of underlying data. If you've only got 20% data loaded into the system, it's not really an appropriate data coverage to make major investment decisions upon. So the data availability reports allow you to show in a very easy traffic light format whether you've got full data coverage, partial data coverage, or no coverage at all of that particular data type. And you can see this in summary format, or you can look at particular instances. So you can see directly which individual expected data files have not been loaded into the system. So you can see if a network element did not provide you data for a certain period of time, or if the network element has stopped sending you the expected performance management data files. Slide 21 then is rehoming. So this is really included within the core PM reports infrastructure, but it's a specific need within wireless networks. So very often there's a lot of reconfiguration, rehoming and changes that take place within a cellular network. It's important to optimize the network infrastructure that you have, and there's often shifts in terms of where traffic capacity and cell site coverage is needed. For example, if there's a new highway is opened, or if there's new housing estates or housing developments within a city, you'll want to rehome some of your capacity to ensure that you cover those new behaviours in terms of traffic flow and in terms of population coverage. So within the tool, what we ensure is that those ongoing rehoming and reconfiguration activities are managed within the tool and do not provide erroneous results. So we manage both the change in relationships between network entities, such as cells reparenting from one BSC to another, and also the change in value of configuration attributes of an entity that might be used for grouping. So that would be the available number of channels on a cell, for example. So we ensure that you can look at the view before and after the rehoming event, which allows you both to eliminate that as a possibility for changed results that you may see, but also to evaluate the effectiveness of that reconfiguration change that you might have made in the network. Moving on to slide 22 then. So in addition to raw performance management reports, we also support two types of complex data. This is stored busy hours. So this is a key performance and dimensioning metric used in wireless networks. Typically every piece of equipment and every service is dimensioned based on the busy hour of that service. So a network busy hour would be significant, but probably more significantly in terms of dimensioning individual equipment would be the busiest hour that is experienced by that particular node. So on an MSC mobile switch, you'd be concerned about when the heaviest load is presented to that particular piece of infrastructure. Or you may be interested for particular links that may be run to an SMS center, for example, when is the SMS service busy hour. So PMW allows you to determine when is the busy hours for a particular node, and that would be the top end busy hours, and then look at the associated busy hour values. You can also look at vendor neutral busy hours, so rather than look at just the Nokia busy hour or the Siemens busy hour, if you had two access network vendors, you can neutralize this across the vendors and basically aggregate this into a vendor neutral view. You can also look at foreign busy hours, for example. So this is using a foreign network entity, such as a parent, to use it as the basis for busy hour determination, but look at what the values of KPIs are for other network elements. So you can, for example, take a BSC and use it as the basis to determine busy hour, but then look at the KPI values for associated equipment such as cell sites or traffic channels, even though they were not used as the basis for determination of busy hour. Store busy hour definitions can be delivered within technology packs again, or they can be end user created. So IBM will often deliver ones that we consider to be useful for users, but they're free to develop their own ones as well. We also manage late data arrival within busy hours. So busy hours are calculated on a periodic basis, and the user can set a threshold such that if new data arrives in that would affect the value of busy hours, then the busy hours will be recalculated to include that new data that has arrived. Slide 23 then includes summaries. So this is daily, weekly and monthly summary data. This is basically rolled up KPI values. And this is the other type of common report that would be required by users for complex performance management data sets. Again, we can provide these within technology packs, or the user can create these themselves. And you can use not just the raw KPIs, but you can also include the PCALCs in summaries, or the UDCs, the user-defined calculations, within summaries too. So PCALCs and UDCs are treated just like the base KPIs are. And again, we have later data management of stored summaries, so the summaries can be recalculated as data arrives into the system. Slide 24 then just shows how these report types are reflected within the report wizard. So step 1A asks you to select a report type, so that can be a standard or raw data report, or it can optionally be a summary or stored busy or complex data report. And you can mix and match these, so you can mix summaries and busy hour KPIs within a report. You can have multiple busy hours in a report, and you can have sliding busy hour configuration as well. So this is the ability not just to determine busy hour on top of the hour, but to allow a sliding scale to give more granularity. So you could determine the GPRS busy hour to be 4:45 to 5:45, for example, on a Friday, rather than having to be forced to snap on to 4 to 5 p.m. You can tune this granularity of sliding busy hours to match the granularity of your data as well. So if your data arrives at 5-minute intervals, the sliding busy hour determination can be aligned to this also. Moving on then to slide 25, I'll just touch on some of the Netcool portfolio integrations that we have achieved in TNPMW. So slide 26 shows the integration we have with Netcool Omnibus Webtop, and this is similar to the complementary integration that's provided in Proviso. So both TNPMW and Proviso allow the configuration of alarms or events within their own application, and the export of these on SNMP to Netcool Omnibus Webtop, or indeed to any SNMP client such as HP OpenView, for example. The difference with the Netcool Omnibus integration, however, is that within the SNMP information, we also provide a URL link directly back to the performance management report in either TNPMW or Proviso. So directly from the Netcool Omnibus Webtop, you can right-click on the event or the alarm and select to go back to TNPMW and view the performance management report that is related to that particular PM event or alarm. So this is quite powerful. It means essentially that your operations staff and your network operations center can link back and directly go and do a second level analysis. So rather than just passively reporting the event or the alarm that they observed, they can go and do some initial diagnostics within TNPMW. On slide 27 then, we've extended this in 9.2. So we found that very often people didn't want to have to go back in. They were happy to go back into TNPMW, of course, to view the performance management data, but they found it cumbersome to have to go into TNPMW to configure the alarms that they wanted to export. They wanted to have the capability to manage the events or the alarms in a single place, usually in their fault manager. So we provided a CLI and SQL interface in 9.2 that allows them to remotely provision and manage all alarms within TNPMW. So they can do this directly from any third party tool that will talk to the CLI or SQL interfaces. So this means you can just it reuses the alarm framework within PMW, but it means you don't have to individually go in and provision and configure your alarms within the tool. You can do this centrally. We've also added the data availability alarms. So this means that rather than looking at the reports that I demonstrated in an earlier slide, which are very often run after the event, after the data is not arriving, you can get alarmed straight away when expected data is not loaded into the system. So this allows you to detect a possible network fault or loss of data early and resolve it at the time that the data has not arrived, rather than trying to resolve it after the event. Moving on then to slide 28, this is the administration dashboard, and we've leveraged IBM Tivoli Monitoring Application, or ITM, to provide administration dashboard for system administrators. So this allows you, using ITM agents, both the standard OS and Oracle database ones, but also three new ones that we provide with PMW for our system components. That's for loaders, for the application, and for the gateways. It allows you to monitor the system health and system performance directly in ITM as an administration view. And you can see there the graphical views on the left hand side for the Oracle and on the right hand side for the TNPMW loaders. So this means that you can as a system administrator both look at the system health of your system in real time, but also plan the dimensioning of the system over time, so you can anticipate when your database will be exhausted. You can anticipate when you need more memory or more CPU capacity for the servers that you've deployed. It also means that you can monitor the usage behavior. You can see how many users are on the system, when they schedule or run ad hoc reports, and also how long PMW reports take to execute. So you may find that there's an individual user who's commissioning network-wide reports that are consuming a lot of processing power and is affecting the experience of some of the other users on the system, and you can take action, perhaps suggesting that they schedule this large report overnight, or that they break out the report into smaller sub-reports. You can also look at some of the data performance, so you can see how quickly data is loaded up through the loaders, through the gateways, and loaded into the database. And you can also set administration alarms on all these components as well using ITM. So ITM is bundled with TNPMW on a restricted license basis, so you're free to deploy ITM at no additional cost on condition that it's used exclusively against TNPM. If you do have ITM already within your business, you can of course take our agents and use your existing installation of ITM to monitor TNPMW also. Moving on then to slide 29, this talks a little bit about the platforms that we support. Taking slide 30 first, we've always supported Sun Solaris, but recently we've also changed the server lineup that we're offering here. So we now offer the T5000 and T2000 ranges for Sun Spark Enterprise servers in 9.2. The recommended hardware is typically provided on a per customer basis. So taking some of the attributes of both the network, in terms of cell size, and also some of the user behavior in terms of number of users and number of reports that are expected, we will provide you using the dimensioning tool with a distinct quotation for that user installation. Slide 31 then, we also now provide Red Hat Enterprise Linux 5 running on x64 architecture, and the system that we've benchmarked as part of our 9.2 development is the IBM System X hardware. So you could potentially run it on other vendor x64 hardware if required by the customer, but initially we're offering IBM X series as the preferred choice for a Linux deployment. Slide 32 then just talks about the three various architecture configurations that are possible. For small customers and small scale deployments such as Tier 3 and Tier 4, you can deploy a monolithic configuration, so this is a single server for application, database and loaders. You can optionally offboard your database with a dual config, so this allows you to reduce your Oracle database license costs as it's on a smaller CPU server, but also to manage the growth and dimensioning of your database independent of the application and loaders. And then finally we've got the Trio config, where you can fully distribute the system to have application, loaders and database on individual servers, allowing you to deploy much smaller servers rather than a large scale piece of hardware. You could optionally deploy blades, of course, as well. Slide 33 then just really summarizes this. So it talks about the hardware improvements that we introduced in the previous slides, both the introduction of the Sun CoolThread server range on the IBM System X, which deliver environmental benefits but also reduce the cost of ownership. So both initial hardware purchase costs are lower, but also the ongoing operational expense to run those server ranges are significantly lower than previous ranges of servers, both from Sun and from IBM. So environmental costs like cooling and power consumption will be lower as well for PMW. And additionally, 9.2 has made some significant software improvements over previous versions. So the data loaders have been completely rewritten, which is providing much faster loading of data. And we've also got a new analytical engine called the Performance Data Engine, which is used currently for stored busy hours and will be extended to other analytics, which will improve the user experience for generation of reports. Slide 34 onwards then, we'll talk a little bit about sales prospecting, just to tell you really what the opportunities are, how you can recognize opportunities and potential objections that you may come across within wireless CSPs. Slide 35 then, just talks a little bit about the identified CSP market segments, splitting this along two axes. Firstly, in terms of market, we've got mature CSPs, primarily North America, Europe and Far East, and then we've got emerging CSPs. These would be regions like Central and Latin America, Africa and parts of Asia. So the difference between these is essentially which networks they've deployed and at what stage of evolution they are along the GSM standards, heading towards 3G and 4G networks. The other axis then is really the compelling event. So what is the activity within the customer that's driving consideration of a new PM system? And these are split into two. So one is investment in new technology that's built out of the network, and specifically now build out of new technologies. And the second one is a reduction in the total cost of ownership. So a focus really on consolidation of performance management systems that they may have already, and also looking to reduce the costs, both in terms of paying for maintenance and support on those performance management systems, but also in terms of soft costs like training individuals and retention of expertise for particular systems or legacy systems that they would have in their network. So there's two sales tactics or two sales plays that we can employ here. So for network technology shift, really the play for TNPMW is to present it as a next generation performance management system. That's one that hasn't been built just for the GSM standards, but has really been built to cover both the GSM, G4S and UMTS existing standards, but is also network ready for the evolutions that the customer is planning for the next 3 to 5 years. So these would be things like deployment of 3G increments like HSDPA to support mobile data services, but also looking at 4G as well, either in terms of WiMAX or in terms of LTE long-term evolution. So we present TNPMW as being ready for these. You can safely deploy it against your existing network, and you can successfully deploy additional tech packs in a modular fashion as you choose to deploy these new technologies within your network. There's no need to replace your PM system. The difference between mature and emerging in this case is that in emerging, there's still a 3G investment ongoing. Largely in mature markets, the 3G investment has happened, and the next trigger point for a network technology shift is really around 4G and evolution to an all-IP core. So this shift in mature markets is more evolutionary. So the driver for a new performance management system, if they already have one deployed against 3G networks, might not be as compelling as they move towards 4G, as these are largely radio network evolutions of the existing 3G infrastructure. However, for emerging markets, deployment of 3G networks, and indeed WiMAX networks as well in some of these markets, is really a trigger point where the existing PM system will potentially not be able to be extended to cover these new technologies, and there really is an opportunity here within those emerging markets as 3G networks are deployed to also come in and propose TN-PMW as the PM solution. Moving to the other type of compelling event then, that's operational expenditure reduction or total cost of ownership reduction. This is a major initiative that's ongoing in mature CSPs. So as mobile revenues decline, both with the economic environment but also increased competitiveness in many saturated markets, mobile operators are reducing revenues to try and attract new subscribers, which are always now churned from their competitors. They're never new mobile subscribers that they're trying to attract, and they're also trying to drive up usage of higher end services such as mobile data. So in this environment, there's huge pressure to reduce the operational expenditure within the mobile operator, so that it corresponds to the reduced revenues that they're experiencing as well. So what's happened is, because of the rapid build out of networks, very often the performance management infrastructure is not homogeneous. There'll be a wide number of performance management legacy systems either provided from vendors like IBM, like I mentioned, NPR and MPM, but these will very often sit alongside other PM systems, maybe one for the radio network, one for the core network, an additional PM system for service layer infrastructure as well. Might have been provided by the network equipment vendor at the time when the equipment was installed, or may have been purchased from a dedicated OSS vendor. Very often as well, the operator has built out a number of scripts, tools and extensions on top of these tools. So they usually plug into the database of NPR, for example, and have built out in-house or bespoke reporting tools that leverage some of the data collection and data structuring that has been provided from OSS vendors. So there's really a large amount of consolidation in PM that could be achieved, and TN-PMW is positioned in these markets as the opportunity to eliminate both NPR, if it is deployed, but also to eliminate some of the other extensions, tools, scripts, and possibly some of the other OSS vendor tools that have been deployed into the network. So TN-PMW is positioned as providing complete vendor coverage and complete technology coverage for a mobile network, and is the one performance management solution that you will need to effectively manage your network. And it will lead you with the option also to extend within the TN-PM bundle to extend to cover some of the fixed and IP assets that you may have in your network, either as a mobile operator that's running their own transmission network or IP network, but also if you're merged with a sister company, as is often the case as fixed and mobile convergence occurs in many markets. This reduced total cost of ownership, while not really a consolidation play in many of the emerging markets, it also is a critical factor. So there's a lot of price sensitivity in the emerging markets about purchase of a PM system. So they want to ensure that the PM system is obviously as low cost as possible. And where we position IBM here is that with the TechPack program, and with the product as opposed to services approach, you not only have a reduced total cost of ownership, perhaps not initially with the deployment in comparison to our competitors, but over a 3 or 5 year business case, you will end up with a reduced cost of ownership. But also you have a predictable cost of ownership, so you don't have the risk that your vendor will come in and charge you professional services costs or time and material costs to build new tech packs or to build new KPIs. You know with IBM exactly what the tech pack costs, and you only purchase it once at time of deployment, so it's automatically upgraded as part of your maintenance and support agreement. So they're the main sales plays across the two types of markets. And if I move on to slide 36, we can just really summarize how you would go in and effectively target really target the end users and the personalities within the business, and how you would qualify a TNPM opportunity. So the end users to sell to are listed at the top of the chart. These are obviously an executive level, the operational executives, the network quality team, and performance optimization teams, but also those who are responsible for the individual infrastructure as well. So it's usually at an engineering, a CTO or engineering manager level that TNPMW is proposed to. Effectively the budget holder who is seeking to reduce their total cost of ownership, or who has strategic responsibility for ensuring that the PM solution is future-proofed, that is the right PM solution for the planned network evolution. You can of course sell into the expert users as well, so these would be the individual radio planners, the individual core network optimization engineers and capacity planning engineers, but we have found that very often this type of approach leads to a large debate on feature function, and they will look for exotic wireless analytic capabilities to be present in the product, or for bespoke extensions and capabilities to be provided directly within the product as well. So in these cases we indicate the flexibility for report building and KPI building within the tool, and we also emphasize the open database that does allow them to extend the tool with scripts and tools if required. But usually the approach is made into the budget holder level. The qualifying questions are listed out there, and they're based around the two sales plays that I mentioned. So it's basically identifying if there's a consolidation opportunity, or identifying if there's a network investment due. Specifically in network investment, we'd also recognize whether there's a wireless and wireline convergence opportunity taking place within the business as well. At that point, we can come in and talk about the TNPM bundle. The average deal size varies considerably. I've listed up there the average deal size after discount of 400 to 500k, but this can scale down with the tier 3 or tier 4 operators, and is obviously significantly higher for a tier 1 opportunity. The competition comes from two areas really. The first is the network equipment providers themselves. That would be people like Ericsson and Nokia, who have their own PM products that they would sell in with their network equipment, and also from dedicated OSS or performance management tool providers, people like MyCom, Aircom and TTI. Usually these guys have come from, for example with MyCom and Aircom, have come from a radio optimization or radio planning specialism, and they're looking to move across the wider network domain to provide performance management, not just for those areas but also for core and service as well. TNPM has had some significant wins recently over both types of these. We beat Ericsson in Swisscom and in T-Mobile Germany, and are also going after some of the other T-Mobile properties here in Europe. And we've managed to displace MyCom with Nortel as well. Listed next then is really the kind of pain points or why buy TNPM from us. These really call out some of the kind of benefits as well of the product. So this is really the ability to achieve those operational efficiencies that I talk about, lower the operational subsystem costs, to achieve some of the integrations that we have in Netco portfolio that wouldn't be offered by our competitors, and also the ability to plug into the wider OSS infrastructure. So if they're looking to deploy business intelligence tools such as business objects across the business, we can seamlessly integrate to other business intelligence tools or management tools that they may seek to deploy. And of course, the primary one being the introduction of new technologies, new vendors and new services within the network. So the ongoing network change, network rollout activities that take place. They really want to have a PM system that's not disrupted, that doesn't have to be upgraded or changed every time a new vendor or new technology is introduced to the network. So the IBM benefits are listed at the bottom of the slide. I think we've covered most of them in the sales description. But it's really leveraging our expertise both in the wireless domain through the Valent heritage, which extends over in excess of 10 years on wireless performance management, but also leveraging the Proviso expertise on the fixed and IP domain. So really combining those two market-leading analytics on fixed and mobile, and combining those in a single TNPM product. If we move then to slide 37, we look at some of the common objections that we experience when we approach customers with TNPM. The first one is really we're not interested at this time. So very often the need for wireless PM is precipitated by a fairly significant change within the network. So they're deploying a 3G network, they're introducing wireless data services, or they're perhaps evaluating their move to LTE or WiMAX. So there's really a lot of time investment, a lot of activity that's taking place in the customer network, and they really just feel that they're not interested at this time to also look at the PM solution. So what we do is we go in and we tell them that we're able to provide some client examples of a similar situation for other customers and how we were able to respond to this. So we can come in and present, for example, how we deployed TNPMW with T-Mobile in Germany, or how we deployed it in a carrier of similar size to the customer that we're talking about. The second objection is we're not ready to take action. So like I mentioned, usually the need for wireless PM is driven by a lot of network investment, and they simply don't know where to start. So very often the focus is on the network investment, and the PM will often follow as an afterthought. Now we've deployed a new 3G network, now we've deployed some new services, how do we monitor these with a PM system? So what we try and do in this case is we show the customer that it's crucial to plan your performance management deployment at the same time as your network deployment. So as your network is changing, you also need to plan your PM response to that as well. And as part of this, we'll offer dedicated performance management workshops. We bring in technology experts and product experts to actively engage with customers. And if you have an opportunity that would benefit from these workshops, then you can contact product management to set these up. Looking in slide 38, we'll cover the next three common objections. So objection three is they really think they can figure this out on their own. So they don't want to be influenced by IBM. Really they'd like to make a neutral decision on wireless PM deployment. And this is particularly relevant to our NPR customers. So we want to ensure that the relationship we've built up with those legacy products gives us an advantage in the moving to a new wireless PM solution. So what we do in this case is we really tell them that the challenges that they are facing have been experienced by a large number of their competitors, not just in their own country, but globally as well. So all this network evolution to IP networks, the introduction of an IMS service layer, the need to rapidly reduce operational expenditure, all of these are examples. All of these are really examples and case studies that we can show that other customers have experienced and how they have successfully responded to these. So we offer the benefit of these learnings from the rest of the industry that we can bring in we can bring into the customer to ensure that they make the right choices. Objection four then is that the infrastructure provider is providing the PM solution, usually bundled, and very often bundled for free with the infrastructure that they're providing. So if Nokia Siemens are rolling out a 3G network, they'll offer to provide the PM system as part of that rollout or as part of a managed service. So obviously free is a hard price to compete with. So where we compete with on this is we indicate that firstly, it may not be wise to have the PM system that's policing your network provided by the same people that you're trying to police. So not having Ericsson reporting on Ericsson's network quality and network performance, but rather having IBM providing that in a neutral manner. And also, even though you may have done a turnkey deal or network-wide deal with Ericsson or Nokia, it's almost impossible to ensure that all your network infrastructure is provided by a single vendor. So even though your radio and core network might be from Ericsson, you're always going to have service layer nodes, like your wireless data nodes, your SMS nodes, your MMS nodes, provided by third parties. And it's IBM that maintains strong relationship with all the network equipment providers. So we ensure that we will support in a neutral way the integration to all network equipment from all vendors in a timely fashion, which couldn't be committed by Nokia or Ericsson, as they'd very often be looking to negotiate with some of their network equipment competitors. Finally then, objection five is they've already engaged with some of our direct OSS competitors such as Aircom and MyCom, and we find that these companies are aggressively targeting our existing NPR base. So these will appear attractive initially. They'll offer a low product price for initial purchase, and how we compete with this is that we indicate that though the IBM solution may initially be a higher cost, the long term price of ownership is significantly better with IBM. So Aircom and MyCom will offer recover their low product price on purchase with additional services revenues down the line. So they will charge you for individual configuration changes on the user interface, support of new KPIs, support of new reports, and they'll also charge you for delivery of new technology packs on a services basis, rather than on a product basis as offered by IBM. We also introduce here the advantage of IBM's scale, both in terms of IBM's ability to deliver, also the insurance that IBM's going to be around in the future, and also the portfolio story. So you're not just buying TNPMW, you're also buying TNPM with Proviso, and you're also buying the portfolio integrations that you may either use immediately with your other Netco products, or you may have the option to use in the future. So offering a much more comprehensive OSS strategic choice than just a standalone performance management solution from Aircom or MyCom. Moving on then to the final section, and this is slide 39. So this is really how we can support you in your bid. So the first part of it is just a very brief overview of the pricing for TNPMW, and then second I'll talk about who is available to support you in your particular bids. So slide 40 just gives a very brief summary of the pricing model for TNPM, so TNPM bundle. So as I mentioned, TNPMW is priced within TNPM. So first of all, there's the base license, and this is a base license that entitles you to both TNPMW and TNPM and Proviso. So both of these products are included in this base license cost, and you're free to choose which product you actually deploy. For a wireless CSP then, if we assume in this example that it's just TNPMW that they're planning to deploy, you would pay for your base license, and the next question then is to ascertain how big your network is. So you go to the managed entity point table and you would select tier 4, that's the wireless cell or sectors, and you would identify how many cells for 2G or how many sectors for 3G the mobile operator has, and for each of these cells or each of these 3G sectors you will allocate 70 points to each of the cells. You can then use the RVU discount table to calculate how many RVUs these points will convert to. So RVUs are resource value units. Using this resource value unit, then you can then determine what the price will be for the size of the network. So this is a scaling factor to accommodate the different tiers, the different sizes of cellular networks. The next question then is the complexity of the network, and this is where you identify what the tech pack requirement is. So there's different tiers of tech packs where we have grouped various types of network elements into different tiers. So in this case, tech pack tier 4 may be for a Nokia SMSC or other service layer node that you may wish to deploy. And the tiers reflect the complexity of the tech pack, and that's why they attract different prices. So really they're the two pricing metrics: the base license followed by a scaling for the size of the network, and then a scaling for the complexity of the network, which is related to the number of tech packs that you would need to deploy. So if someone has a fairly homogeneous network with a small number of vendors and a small amount of network equipment, then they will have a lower price to deploy than someone with the same number of subscribers but who has a very complex network, who has taken each part of the network from different vendors. Finally then, on slide 41, I've listed the first stop for yourself as a sales or technical sales lead when you've got an opportunity is to visit the TNPM product wiki. And on this wiki we've included all the sales collateral, both for the TNPM bundle but also specifically for TNPMW for wireless, and also on the fixed side for Proviso as well. Additionally, you can contact one of the product management team, that's myself for the TNPM core application, Angus Donaldson for the tech packs, that's if you want to inquire about the availability or planned availability of particular technology packs, Tom Randalls, who manages specifically the move of the NPR customer base to TNPMW and can support development of the business case for this, Colette Finneran, who manages market management, which includes customer references and competitor and market analysis, and Troy Bennett, who manages sales readiness. So this is the production and availability of TNPM sales collateral, such as product documentation, slide decks, etc. Then in enablement, we have James Katz, who provides sales enablement, and Tom Vu, who provides technical sales enablement. For the wider TNPM product and the product strategy, so if you want information on the convergence of Proviso and TNPMW, and for the longer term evolution of this product, you can contact Francois Caron. And for executive support, you can contact Kieran Ryan, who's the product manager telco leader, Dennis Kennelly, the VP in development for this product area, and Kieran Moynan, who's the CTO telecoms in Tivoli. So that includes today's Tivoli Talk. If you have any further questions on what I presented today, please don't hesitate to contact me. You can contact me via either the wiki or via Blue Pages. So thanks for your time.